Okay, I have 5 minutes after, and I believe that we do have a quorum, so I'm going to ask Dr. Yarborough. I'm glad she could join us on time. She had a back-to-back presentation. Very good. I appreciated that.
Thank you.
So if you'll go ahead and start the meeting.
All right. So we'll call the meeting to order, and I guess we'll do our introductions. So what's the most efficient way for us to do this?
Let me call out the numbers. We have names, but there are some telephone. The 813 area code 357-2934. Who is that?
Good afternoon. My name is Monique Simmons. I'm calling from Travelers Insurance.
Thank you. And 2937, the same area code.
Hi, this is Sherry Sportman calling in from Travelers.
Okay. 865-769-4566.
Francis Thomas with Ortho Tennessee.
Thank you. And 949-864-9005.
Hi, this is Mike Edelton with Medata.
Okay. Thank you. and then I'll run through the names. Amanda Terry is the legal services with the Bureau. Amelia Mitchell, which organization are you with?
Net Government Solutions.
Roxanne Brown is with Sedgwick and one of our committee members, David Price.
Hi, this is David Price, Director of Government Affairs with Preferred Medical.
Anna Garcia is our consultant with Corvell. Terry Horn.
Yes, with Vanderbilt.
Jamie Malone.
Middle Tennessee Occupational Medicine.
Bryce Johnson.
I'm Bryce Johnson. I'm a student at Wilmington University.
Jennifer Katz.
Hello, Travelers.
Larry M.
Yes, I'm with Mitchell. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm with MedData.
Leanne.
Hi, Leanne Lewis with Management Solutions.
Hi. Yep. Carrie Lessie. Lessa.
Good afternoon. I'm with Travelers.
Okay. Mark Finks is counsel with the Bureau. Natalie Knox.
Hello, I'm with EnableComp.
Faith Parrish.
Hey, I'm with Vanderbilt.
Pauline Williams.
Pauline Williams with Fair Health.
Terry Ann Scarantino.
Hi, Dr. Snyder. I'm with Optum.
Okay. Robin Stewart.
Good afternoon. I'm with Travelers.
Okay. Suzanne Gaines is with the Bureau. Susie Douglas is our medical staff coordinator. Kevin Trebo.
Yes, I'm with Optum. Thank you.
Mr. Haley, Troy Haley is our administrator. Vicki Wisdom.
Hi, Vicki Wisdom with EnableComp.
Janet Villani.
Yes, with Sedgwick.
Okay. Melani Wayan.
Hello, Melanie with Travelers.
Wayan. Okay. And Mr. Cromer is on our committee and with the Tennessee Hospital Association. He's the CEO. Misty Williams.
I'm with Travelers, not participating, just listening in.
And Marcia Wood, welcome.
I'm with Volkswagen. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. One of our committee members. So,
yes, thank you.
I believe that so far Dr. Johnson has not, but we have 5 of the 6 committee members present. Mark, is that a quorum?
Yes, that is sufficient for a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, turn it back over to Dr. Yarborough.
All right, so we need to have approval of the minutes from the October 11th. So I think those came out. Susie had sent those out. We have a motion to approve those.
This is Roxanne. I make a motion to approve.
Great. We have a second.
It's Leanne. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Okay. Next, we have our conflict of interest forms, which Susie's going to tell us we got to make sure we have in, I'm sure. Susie?
We are up to date. Thank you all very much. I appreciate
Yay!
It.
Yay! Congratulations, everybody. That's Susie's Christmas gift. Okay. So, okay, good. All right. So, old business case reviews. So, Bob, you want to take it away?
Okay. The first case is case 65, which is St. Francis versus National Casualty and Mitchell. This case involved a hospitalization. St. Francis, through their bill review company, has not provided us with a redacted version or enough information to make a decision on that case. Case 69, another holdover, also from St. Francis. This case involved delay in finding out the workers' comp status from an October 2021 hospitalization. But again, the redaction was incomplete, and we do not have the adjuster or the all of the information to support that case. So the next cases, these are the ones for this month. Case 71, Chattanooga Orthopedics versus Employers. It had to do with an elbow splint that was denied as part of a compensable claim. This was the same case similar case as of case 57, which was treated last month, in which they had paid for x-rays and a wrist splint but had denied the office visit as compensable. At this time, we had no further update from the last committee, as there was a defense attorney trying to resolve this particular case. Case 73, this is VUMC versus Travelers. This was a denied payment for a pain pump, and
so in this one, the provider is requesting 4 units of J0475 for baclofen. Upon the initial submission, the charges were denied as bundled into the facility fee. And then when the provider resubmitted, the charges were denied due to timely filing. J0475 is separately payable under OPPS. The status indicator is K, which is for non-pass-through drugs, and so it is paid under a separate APC payment and is payable on this bill. And then as for the timely filing denial, that was done on the resubmission, the review company appears to have incorrectly cited a rule that applies to bills that were not initially submitted in the proper manner. This bill did appear to have been properly submitted, and the timely filing guidelines state that the time of submission of a bill must be consistent with Medicare guidelines, which is no later than 1 year after the date of service, and this bill was submitted within the 1 year time frame. So payment of $1,089.40 is due to the provider less any contractual allowances.
So I'll have to recuse myself from the vote and from any discussion. Do we have a motion on this?
This is Roxanne. I make the motion to accept the recommendation.
Do we have a second?
It's Leanne. I'll second it.
Is there any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Great. Motion carries. Next case.
Okay. Let me just update this. There has been, just within the last couple of days, there's been correspondence between Travelers and Enable Comp with this case. And so we went ahead with this decision, but it's pending an agreement between the parties as to the final outcome. Case 74. This was a payment for emergency room visits with special services. This was VUMC versus Travelers again. This was a report. Anna has looked at this case as well.
Okay. On case 74, on initial review, the charges for the 96375 and 96374 were denied as packaged or excluded for payment. However, under the Medicare OPPS payment system, those two codes are status S codes, and they are paid through a separate APC and do not bundle into the other codes billed. They weren't billed with a J1 or anything that they would bundle into. This one also had the same timely filing denial that was incorrect when they resubmitted the bill. It did meet the Medicare guidelines for timely filing, and so additional payment is recommended to the provider in the amount of $374.71 per the Tennessee fee schedule, less any contractual allowances.
I also recuse myself from this case, from voting or discussion in this. Do we have a motion on this case?
This is Roxanne, and I make a motion to accept the recommendation.
Okay, do we have a second?
This is Marsha, I second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Next case.
Case 75, VUMC versus Travelers on burn treatment on separate days was denied as a duplicate. This also had a report from Anna. We worked
for this one.
We worked through this one.
it was fun. So for this one on 99232, they're billing that for dates of service 10/28/2021. And also for 10/29/2021. And they were, like you said, denied as duplicate charges. No documentation was submitted that showed that these were duplicate charges. The provider did indicate that an E&M service was provided on the same dates of service by a specialist in trauma surgery. Per CPT, providers of different specialties may bill distinct services that were performed on the same date. Since the billing providers in this case are specialists in burn surgery, the two charges for 99232 would be payable. This one also on the resubmission had an incorrect denial due to timely filing. And this bill did, the resubmission did meet the Medicare guidelines for timely filing. So payment of $201.17 is due to the provider, less any contractual allowances.
Okay, so I recuse myself on the voting in this case also. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
It's Leanne. I'll move that we accept the recommendation.
Do we have a second?
This is Roxanne. I second.
Discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? All right, the motion carries. Next case.
As well as a unspecified code, 99. And Anna reviewed this one as well.
On this one, the provider is saying that they were underpaid for CPT code 64999, which is an unlisted code. They then resubmitted, and similar to the prior bills, were incorrectly denied for timely filing. This bill was submitted according to timely filing guidelines. 64999 is the correct code for the ESP block that was performed. Since it is an unlisted code, it should be paid at 80% of billed charges, making the correct fee schedule payment $742. So the provider is due an additional payment of $391.68, less any contractual allowances.
Okay, I recuse myself from this vote also. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
It's Leanne. I move that we accept the recommendation.
We have a second.
Sorry to interrupt. There was communications between the parties as well this week on this one.
Yes.
I don't know if that.
We're awaiting an agreement between the parties as to the resolution.
Should we go ahead and continue the voting?
We still need the second.
Okay, we have a second.
This is Will. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Okay, the motion carries.
Okay, case 77 was resolved. Case 78 has been resolved. Case 79, this was a case where the permanent impairment evaluation on the same compensable body part of the elbow that they treated was denied. No payment had been issued for the permanent impairment evaluation. And the expectation from the provider was for $175. Was not clear exactly why the provider expected only $175 when the medical fee schedule is $250, unless there's a contract that we're not aware about. So my recommendation on this case was that the payment, the expected payment by the provider is due, $175.
Okay. Do we need to put in, we don't know about the contractual, so that's what you're saying?
The yes.
Okay, all right, got it. Okay, all right. And that's not, I didn't hear who that was. Is that BUMC?
No, that's okay. Chattanooga Orthopedics.
Okay, all right. Okay, so do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
It's Roxanne. I recommend. I make the motion to accept.
Okay, so is that a Roxanne made the motion and Leanne seconded?
Sure, Leanne will second it.
Is that what I could? Yeah, I heard two people talking. I wasn't sure if that was somebody else or that could have been Mary. Sorry, I mean Marcia. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Okay. Case 80.
Dr. Snyder, pardon me for interrupting you, but on case 78, that one has not been resolved. We received additional information on that, and so we were probably going to look at that one, have Anna look at that one for February.
Okay.
Thank you.
So case 78, just make a note that that will be evaluated for February.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, case 80. Chattanooga Orthopedics versus Sedgwick, underpaid new visit to an orthopedist as well as an injection. The payment to the orthopedist of 160% as well as the injection was due. So there is an additional due the provider of $186.08 less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
Mary, this is Roxanne. I recuse on this one and the next one.
Okay.
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion that we accept the recommendation.
Okay. Do we have a second?
It's Marcia. I second.
All right. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries. All right.
Case 81, Ortho Knox versus Sedgwick. There were PT visits that were disputed. The billed amount was $2,135. Paid was $67.98. The expected payment was $846. These services, according to the information that you was submitted, were authorized by the adjuster. After that, it was sent to utilization review, which retrospectively denied the services, and consequently, they were not paid. My recommendation that the additional $778.02 is due, and that's when the discount has already been factored in.
All right. And Leanne said she recused herself, I think, on this case.
Oh, no, that was Roxanne. Yeah.
All right. So do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
I just have a question about this one. I want to make sure. The discount is factored in based on what was paid?
Yes, and the discounts that the Ortho Knox placed on their bills.
Oh, okay, okay. I will make a motion that we accept the recommendation if it was authorized by the adjuster.
Okay. Is that Roxanne?
That's Leanne.
Leanne. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought somebody recused. I missed that. All right. Do we have a motion to accept? Second. A second?
This is Roy Johnson. I second.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion carries.
Case 82, VUMC versus Creatives and Splashlight. This was burn treatment where the per diem stock loss and implants were underpaid. This case is going to be held over until February.
All right.
Case 83, we had some initial questions concerning the information that was given. But that was resolved actually today, and so we will go ahead and deal with this one. Chattanooga Orthopedics versus CCMSI, a shoulder surgery by an orthopedist was underpaid. Billed $5,000, they paid $1,231.85, and Anna has a report that has been confirmed.
The provider is requesting additional payment for CPT 20999. The provider appears to be using this code to bill for platelet-rich plasma injection, which should be billed with CPT code 0232T. The injection of the PRP is supported by the notes. However, 0232T is not separately payable when performed with other procedures on the same day. Per CPT assistant, the placement and injection of cells into the operative site is an inclusive component of the operative procedure performed and is not separately reported. Since the PRP was injected in the rotator cuff in the same operative session as the rotator cuff repair was performed, the 0232T would not be separately payable, and no additional payment is recommended to the provider.
Do we have a motion to accept?
This is Roxanne. I make the motion to accept.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Leanne will second it.
Okay. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. The motion carries. And might I just add, Anna, that was an amazing amount of numbers and quotes and rules you just
I just heard y'all understand what I'm saying. Yeah.
That took me like 4 hours to get to think through. So, yeah. Thanks.
That's what I enjoy doing. So it all works out.
Case 84, Chattanooga Orthopedics versus Travelers, a correct coding denied for an office visit and casting of a broken wrist at the same time. Billed $855, paid was $244.39. And Anna reviewed this case as well.
On this one, the provider is requesting additional payment for 99204, which was initially denied and then resubmitted with modifier 25 and 57 to indicate that it was a separately identifiable E&M service and that the visit resulted in the decision for surgery. The medical notes do support payment of 99204, and it is the correct level evaluation and management code. The provider performed a history and physical, reviewed the x-ray, prescribed medication, and made the decision for surgery. Additional payment of $288.59 is due to the provider, less any contractual allowances.
Great. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
I move to accept the recommendation.
Okay. Mr. Roy, thank you. Do we have a second?
It's Leanne. I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Okay, case 85, Chattanooga Orthopedics versus CAN. That had to do with a PT visit, billed $257, nothing was paid. The analysis on this was that actually the EOB had miscoded 97110 times 2 instead of 997140. The letter of approval was dated 1421, and the service date was 12121. So this was within the was after the letter of approval was received. So the recommendation is a payment, extra payment due to the provider of $126.73, less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
It's Leanne. I'll move that we accept the recommendation.
Okay, do we have a second?
This is Will. I'll second.
Okay. All right. Will jumped in there. Got to be quicker, Marcia. Just joking. Sorry. Any discussion?
No.
All right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Just parenthetically, to let everybody know, especially Marcia, that other states that have medical payment committees or judicial proceedings to resolve disputed payments come up with pretty much the same figures, which is the providers are usually due extra money in over 90% of the cases. So this is our statistics are pretty much in line with what we know of other states that have dispute resolutions as well. So just to let those who'd be interested to know why it seems to be tilted so much in the favor of the providers. Yes.
So sorry to interrupt. There was a question in the chat that I think that we missed from Jennifer Katz. It said, could you repeat that case number? And I don't think it was the last case. I think it was the case before. But, Jennifer, if you need clarification, if that's not right, let us know.
Okay.
It was the last Travelers one. We weren't sure that we had notice of it.
Yes, case 84 was Chattanooga with the office visit and casting for the broken wrist.
Thank you. And if we are not sure that we received notice of a case for the additional information to identify it, would we contact Susie?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bob, on that, with with your statement about the finding in light of the providers, is that because workers' comp is such a small fraction of the insurance that's filed and the rules differ? I mean, is there any thought to why that happens?
I think the first thing I would say is workers' comp is different in the complexity. Other states run into the same thing. It's even as their medical fee schedules can be so complex that it's hard for you know, many of the insurance companies to ferret out each one of these.
Right. Yeah. I shouldn't want to leave the impression that we thought they were big, bad insurance companies, but I think it is complex, and so it's nice we have the opportunity to discuss this. Okay.
Case 86 is St. Francis versus Liberty Mutual. Again, we have no adjuster information or redaction. Case 87 and 88 were both closed for untimely submissions. And then case 89, also incomplete information with no adjuster or redaction. So, which leaves us with two of them. One of them is Ortho Tennessee versus Sedgwick, where the drug J code was denied as inclusive. The drug code, the J code, is payable, and in this case, it was a recommendation for an additional $8.87. And case 91 was the same, two denials for drug J codes. So we can deal with those together.
And Mary, this is Roxanne. I'm recusing myself from these.
Okay. Roxanne. Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendations? I think, but Bob, you didn't say what it was in the last one. It was $8 and something in the first one. Is that what it was in the second one also?
Yes. $8.87.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept?
It's Leanne. I move that we accept both recommendations.
Okay. Lori, you second?
I'll go ahead and second, yes.
Okay. Right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion carries. Okay. So that's all the cases.
Thanks.
All right.
Yes.
So we're
Thanks
on
so
to
much.
Three.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks so
thank
much,
you,
Anna.
Anna,
for all that work.
Yes, thank you, Anna. And I don't know where. I missed Betty last time. We appreciated her too. If she's moved on, we want her to know that we thank her too for her work last time. All right, the reward and certified physician.
I'll pass it on.
Okay. Good. Thank you. The reward and certified physician program.
Susie, do you want to go ahead and announce when the next reward conference is?
Yes, sir, I will. But before I do that, I wanted to mention also, Dr. Yarbrough, if you and the committee would consider on those cases from St. Francis that are incomplete, I've sent multiple emails requesting additional information for months, and I wondered if the committee would entertain the idea of sending a letter under the committee's signature that these cases are incomplete. I believe the rule allows 3 months for the providers to respond or resubmit incomplete cases. It's either 3 or 6 months. I'm not sure which. But on these cases, I'm not getting across to them what they need. And I've talked to multiple individuals at that particular entity trying to collect for St. Francis, and I am not getting any responses.
Yes, I think that's appropriate. Do we need to make a motion to vote on that, or can we just ask that be done?
I think a motion would be appropriate.
Okay. So, Susie, can you make a statement in the form of a motion that we could take forward to make sure we have that worded correctly?
I think based on what Susie said, it's Leanne.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that a letter is sent to St. Francis from the committee confirming that we cannot review their disputes without the required information. And Susie, let me know if you want us to also say, and they've exceeded the time limit to respond after multiple requests.
Thank you. And I think at this point, I feel like we should put them on notice first. I'll defer to Amanda on that, but I feel like we probably need to give them notice that if you do not submit it from this point forward, we could do the countdown. But I want them to have every opportunity. I have been unsuccessful in obtaining the information after contacting multiple parties. So I think what you moved, Leanne, sounds good to me, and that they should have this time to submit it. Amanda,
I agree.
What do you think?
Yes. Yes, I agree with you, Susie.
Okay. All right. So Leanne has put forward this motion. Move to accept?
I'll second.
Okay. Sorry, let me second. Yeah, I would also. I would be happy to do that also. All right. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay, so that motion carries. Right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And so, yes, back to reward. The next meeting will be February 22nd at 9:30, and I encourage anyone who wants to attend the meeting for employers to do so. Dr. Les Curte, who is a clinical psychologist, will be leading and facilitating that discussion on return to work for employers. So please let me know if you're interested, and I can send you the sign-up information for that meeting.
I would like that, Susie.
Okay. Of course. Thank you.
The COVID update.
Well, we'll go back to the certified physician program.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. They were together.
The medical fee schedule already has the extra payments for the certified physician program for those that are appointed to it. Unfortunately, the Attorney General's office has asked us to hold up on that program. Pending some further legislation to allow us to create a separate category of physicians. And so that program is temporarily on hold. For those individuals that had already signed up for the program, they can continue to complete the modules, the online modules, and will receive CME credits for it.
Right.
So that's for those that have already signed up, that's ongoing.
Can you tell us how many have signed up, Bob?
We had about 35 signed up.
Oh, that's great. We had
seven that had completed the program prior to the hold that the Attorney General's office had put on it.
Okay, great. So, yeah, good work. Okay, now the COVID update. Are you doing that, Bob?
Okay. NIOSH had a seminar or a webinar on December the 8th, which released information from New York State on their COVID statistics. And interestingly enough, the statistics that I give to you each month have virtually not changed in the last 3 to 4 months as far as Tennessee is concerned. And interestingly enough, New York State, their experience mirrors ours very closely. Of the number of claims that are submitted to workers' compensation, almost 80% of them were denied and not appealed. Of the ones that were accepted, only about 25% of those actually received any benefits. And that very closely mimics our data as well. Concerned at this point, there has been virtually no litigation. And it appears that most of them are either being settled or withdrawn prior to going to hearing. The other statistic is that we have had 12 death claims that have been accepted and paid in the state related to COVID out of 50-some deaths that occurred that were originally appealed to the Bureau as related to COVID. So that's the information that we have on COVID so far.
Do you have insight into the primary reasons that for denial or acceptance or?
It had to do mostly with the difficulty in determining exposure.
Okay.
And that was true. Interestingly enough, the most accepted claims in New York State had to do with administrative workers, which included office workers and other ones, which was very interesting. and that healthcare workers were the third major group, not the first responders were the second group, and it was healthcare workers where the third percentages occurred, but was much lower than administrative workers, interestingly enough.
Thank you.
If you email me, I can send you the slide deck from that NIOSH presentation. If individuals will either email me or Susie, we can forward that to you.
Great. The medical fee schedule.
The public hearing was November the 8th. We received all of the comments in writing. The Bureau has reviewed those comments. We have not yet completed the results of those comments so far, but as soon as we do, it will be forwarded to the Attorney General's office. The one thing I can tell you is that the medical fee schedule will include rate tables that will be produced by Fair Health. Due to the fact that Fair Health is a non-governmental agency, the Bureau feels that the safest recommendation would be that for rates such as the gap fill rates and also the dental rates, which will be produced by Fair Health from their data, that those fee reimbursement amounts will be reviewed by the Medical Payment Committee. And so that will be once we get this new the medical fee schedule activated or adopted, then the Medical Payment Committee then will review how Fair Health then arrived at their gap fill codes, and then will review those with a recommendation to the administrator. So that'll be new for the Medical Payment Committee.
We thought we weren't going to have anything to do. No, okay, good. Speaking of, then, new business. So appointment of co-chair.
So poor Dr. Yarborough has received all the letters for the last 6 months. And so I would like one of the insurer representatives to consider volunteering to be a co-chair for the committee so that they would be able to run the meeting in Dr. Yarborough's absence. And your duties other than the meeting would be to review usually between 4 and 10 letters that are the results of the votes that the committee takes. Return those to us with a signature. So I'm asking whether Leanne or Roxanne or Marcia would be interested in volunteering for that position.
It's Leanne. I don't mind doing it.
Okay. We appreciate that. Thank you, Leanne.
You're welcome.
And I'm also, you know, one of the things that had been done for me is we kind of started alternating the meetings, which really helped then when I was the only person, so that I felt very comfortable. So I think that, you know, if y'all consider that, that's a reasonable way to think about it too. Okay, next meeting. Now, was this planned on Valentine's Day? We know we love y'all, so that's great. That's really good. No,
you weren't at the last meeting, and so the last meeting somebody had a conflict for February the 7th, and so that was how the date for the 14th arrived. Yeah. So that's what happens when you don't show up for a meeting.
No, that's fine. I'm envisioning like turning it on and y'all's backgrounds are going to be all hearts and everything there at the Bureau. So that'd be good. All right. So February 14th, our second meeting, we need May 9th or May 16th. So do we have preferences in the committee? May 9th or May 16th?
It's Leanne. I'm fine with either one of them.
Yeah, I am too.
I would I am too.
I would vote the 9th. I have a senior, but he graduates that day. But that's okay if I'm the only one.
I don't know.
We can. Ninth,
he graduates on the 9th or the 16th?
The 16th.
Oh, okay. Well, let's make it for May the 9th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're one out of the house, huh?
Yep.
Well, you might not want to go that far, but at least graduate.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Do they ever leave the house? I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we'll have to have a celebration for you on that day for sure. Okay. Do we have any other business that we need to discuss? Okay.
I will send you, at the last meeting we reviewed the Bureau's programs.
Okay.
I will send you the slides on that, and if you want to discuss them, just give me a call.
Oh, thank you. I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that. I would like that. Y'all do great work. I'm always amazed at how much work y'all do and how organized you are doing it. So thank you. Okay. Well, do I have a motion then to adjourn?
So moved as well.
Okay. Second?
Leanne will second it.
All right. Now, is there discussion on this? No. Okay. All right. Everybody have a great holiday and happy new year. So we'll see y'all back on Valentine's Day.